Flashbacks. Flashbacks. Past players. Past legends. Past legends.
And tonight we're very pleased to bring you one of the good, great guys of footy, Des O'Dwyer, former Red Leg, Woodville Warrior, Woodville West Torrens player. So 8 games for Melbourne, 78-82, then 21 games, 50 goals for Nord, 83-85, 105 goals for 105 games for Woodville, 7 goals between 86 and 90. Then in the amalgamated side, Woodville West Torrens, 17 games in 91 and 4 goals. Also very good cricketer for Fulham, king of dominating the reunions at Nord and Kilburn over the last few weeks. Welcome aboard, Des.
Thank you, Malcolm. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us, Pete. Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Pete. How are you, Pete?
Yeah, very good, thank you. We like to sort of get a little bit of background on how you made your way into football and doing a bit of research. You're from Victoria. We won't hold that against you, but growing up in Shepparton.
Yeah, so it all started back on a little country farm out of a place called Coomboona, which was a little farming district about 12 miles out of Shepparton in the heart of country Victoria. Sort of cut my teeth playing juniors, you know, in the school system, and then progressed to playing for a club called Shepparton United in the Golden Valley League. Played a few years there as senior footy, and then sort of found my way into Melbourne. Had 3 or 4 years with Melbourne Footy Club. Matter of fact, they dragged me down for a game when I was only about 16, and in 1978. As a one-off game, happened to have a run against St Kilda at Moorabbin Oval in the mud, and happened to kick a goal with me first kick and all that stuff. So that was all pretty exciting and surreal. I was only 16 at the time, so you can't do that these days, of course. So
and that was under Dennis Jones, who also he was Central's, I reckon, Dennis Jones.
That's you've done your research there, Malcolm. Well done. Yes, so that was 78. So. Sort of things were a bit tough back for Melbourne in those late 70s. We, hence they got a bit desperate and recruited a young kid from the country of Victoria. So, but I didn't actually go down for a year or so. I actually did my knee in my second last game of that next year and went down my first season and had the old full knee reco situation. So I didn't actually start playing again really until about 81. So I debuted in 78 and didn't play my second game until 1981, so it was a long time between drinks, but ended up... And then Ronnie Barassi came in that in 81.
Yeah, so how was that, Des? Yeah, Carl Dittrich and Ron Barassi.
Carl Dittrich in 1980. Matter of fact, Carl was the one that encouraged me to just go and have my knee done. I actually, when I first did it, I was sort of a bit shaky and wonky, and he just come up to me pre-season training at the start of 80 and said, just go get it done. He said, I had mine done at your age, it'll be fine. So that's what I did. And so that was the influence that Carl had on me, but I didn't have a lot to do with him other than that. But Barras came in 81 and it was a slow, long burn there as well. I think Barras had 5 years at the club and I was there for 2 of those and they were pretty tough years. We still weren't winning too many games and he was obviously fairly ruthless. It was an experience, that's for sure.
Now, can we just rewind a little bit there? You mentioned you were playing senior football back in the home club there before you got your opportunity to debut against St Kilda.
Yes,
Were you playing senior football at 11 years of age? Because that's what it sort of sounds like.
Well, I think I debuted for Sheffield United when I was just 15 or 15 and a half. So, yeah, I was one of these kids that probably matured. I was probably 6'1" at 15 and didn't grow too much more at that point. So it all clicked fairly. It's just something I naturally did and played senior footy at 15, So, and 78, I played Teal Cup. We actually came over here for the carnival and 78 was a big year. I played that game for Melbourne and Teal Cup and then Sheffield United were
participating. How did you go in the Teal Cup, Des?
Yeah, apparently I was close to All-Australian selection but missed out. So who knows, mate. Yeah, had a reasonable carnival and think South Australia won the carnival, and Mark Wiedemann won the medal that year.
Yes,
I remember that.
Yeah.
In that in those days it was just Victoria. There was no metro and country.
Yep.
It was just one side from Victoria. So. That was great. Who little did I know that a few years later I'd be actually living over here and playing for Norwood. So, amazing.
Well, just go back a little bit on Barassi being your coach. We normally ask this right at the end as to who your favourite people are in football, but I want to ask it now. Was he a little bit of an idol of yours, and then you got to play under him?
Look, to be honest, Pete, it's such a long time. I played six games under Barassi, I suppose. Six or seven, I think.
As a kid, too.
And I was a kid, and I can't really recall. All I just remember really is, the training methods. And I remember one particular night we got flogged by St Kilda, actually, we just did circle work all night. I reckon it went for nearly 2.5 hours, non-stop, in the rain, and he brought us in twice, I reckon, throughout the night, and each time he said I was nearly going to end it, but then someone dropped the mark, so off you went, sent you back out. So he was uncompromising, and he sort of even the likes of Robbie Flower, who I was lucky enough to play with and be good mates with, even the likes of Robbie sort of struggled with his ways a little bit and lost confidence at times, can you believe? So fortunately, they don't coach like that anymore. Not obviously in his era, he was amazing and extracted the best out of blokes. I think it was more or less, if you couldn't cope with his ways, you wouldn't cope in a grand final. That was sort of the methodology behind it all.
And he was ruthless.
He off the ground, mate, you wouldn't meet a nicer bloke than Ron Barassi. And until of recent times, of course, he's passed away now, but... he'd always remember your name. Wouldn't have mattered how many games you played, he'd still remember you and, engage with you. I went to a couple of Melbourne Footy Club past player functions over the years, and he'd always say good day and remember you. And he was an amazing person and great. He was the true Mr. Football in my eyes, Ron Barassi for sure.
And in terms of that, what was it like playing with Robbie Flower? As skilled as any player in the history of the game.
Well, I reckon if there was 30, 40,000 at the MCG, I can assure you 38,000 of them were there to watch Robbie Flower. Yeah. Not us, that's for sure. He was exquisite, mate. It was poetry in motion. You've seen replays of him.
Oh, I loved him.
I remember one state game, it was over here actually. He
stood KT.
He moved the centre half forward and dominated. So that's the sort of, he was just a freak.
Yeah,
and a lovely bloke to boot as well. One of the nicer guys in footy as well. I remember, I think Dipper Domenico, Rob, he almost felt guilty one day. I think he whacked him, and I don't think he went up to him and nearly apologised. He felt that guilty that he'd almost, it was like shooting Bambi type thing. So he was that popular in the whole league, mate. He was amazing.
So we have to ask. We've spoken to a couple of players who cut their teeth a little bit in the VFL before they made their move over to the SNFL. But what was it like playing at some of the suburban grounds back in the day? Because it's sort of lost a little bit these days with only three or four venues being used.
Yes, it was daunting. I remember that at going to places like Windy Hill and particularly my last game was Cardinia Park down at the Cattery. That was the only game I played in my last 82, year.
82, yeah.
82, yep. And we got flogged by Geelong. And I stood a bloke by the name of Gary Malarkey.
Good player. WA boy.
He was built like a proverbial you-know-what, and he was very, very, very hard to stand. And but the crowds were incredibly parochial. And then you had your Windy Hills, and I played a couple of games at Moorabbin and, of course, at Victoria Park, Collingwood's home ground, and Princess Park with Carlton and Hawthorn were there, I think. And then you'd head out to Waverley and you'd sink 3 inches into the soggy turf out there, So they were interesting times, that's for sure.
What was it like? Because, we look back on history and the VFL almost sort of went broke back in the early to mid-80s. Was there a sense of that from the playing groups amongst yourselves? Because...
I don't think. Look, there wasn't big money being thrown around. There were certain clubs, I think, like your Collingwood. I remember a big contract going out for a Richmond player that got it, went across to Collingwood. Edwards was his name.
Yeah, Butch Edwards.
Was, Butch Edwards. This is the thing about Ron. I come back to Ron Barassi. Barass had this vision even then, even before then, that for the game to survive, it needed to go national. And he was even thinking internationally too, probably. So it was the foresight of Ron Barassi's, he pushed that sort of stuff and got, obviously went up to Sydney and helped out and coached for when they went up there as well. And so he didn't just, it wasn't just him talking. He actually was a doer as well. And the VFL competition itself was, once it went national, it's the TV rights and all that, so it certainly saved the day.
Oh, yeah. That would have been at the end of your time there, Des.
That's why I asked.
Where Collingwood...
The year I finished 82, I reckon Sydney ended up, South Melbourne ended up in Sydney either. Either they were playing games on...
On the Sunday, games,
or they actually relocated. I can't quite remember.
I reckon it was 82. But you also, had Collingwood and Richmond almost trying to kill each other with recruiting players. With Philip Walsh, there was David Cloak, Raines. Yeah. It was incredible. It was just quite crazy.
Very true. Ridiculous. So, I mean, there was money being thrown around that probably these clubs probably didn't have, I guess, and then you had certain clubs over the journey that have been very, very close to insolvency. So but I think the way the AFL's got it structured now, it's they're still pouring lots of money up north, of course, but it's because of the TV rights that they've managed to keep all these clubs and the location of a footy club now is not as critical as it was probably 10 years ago. Like we all say, how many. There's too many teams in Victoria, which there probably are, but at the end of the day, there's this massive pool of money from TV that which governs it.
Yep.
So, and that keeps everyone alive. So unless they can relocate clubs, they won't be chopping anyone out of Melbourne, I wouldn't have thought.
So, Des, then you moved over to Nord. Transfer employment, was that with the bank then, with the National Bank then?
It was, So Melbourne, there's a couple of things there. Melbourne had a connection with Norwood through Ross Dillon, and there was other people as well. So there was Steve Curley, there's other names I can't quite recall, but there was a solid connection. And the other thing was there was Red and Blue, of course, and of course my other club, my first club, Sheppard and Yard, they were Red and Blue Demons as well. So I went Red and Blue, Red and Blue, Red and Blue. So.
Nothing wrong with
that. Well, fair to say it's in the blood then.
Yeah, it was in the blood, red and blue running through the veins for sure. So, it was, I remember what happened was my last game for Melbourne was a reserves game. It was my 21st birthday, actually. I actually kicked 10 in eight in my last game, and we were playing South Melbourne on the MCG. And a couple of weeks before, I'd been given the heads up by Stan Elves, who was the... Brass's, one of his assistants, who said, "Look, Desi, we're going to move you on." Mate, I've only had two or three years there, not even that, not a lot of footy. But anyway, I said, "Oh, yeah, fair enough." And I kicked 8 in the last game on the G. And I remember going up to Stan. I said, "Oh, Stan, can I stay now?" He said, sorry, Desi, but you go and we'll help you out and do this and do that." So as it turned out, I ended up, I went over to Perth for a weekend and had a run with Subiaco and just didn't really like that at all, to say the least. And then came in and had to come over and Nereo Ferrario picked me up at the airport, and we shot up to Victor Harbour and went to the famous Mount Brecon camps. And I met all the lads. So I got there. Fortunately, I got there Friday night, so I missed that run on the Friday night, which was a killer.
Yes.
But I had the Saturday and Sunday with them, so it was a solid session. But it was probably more solid on the Saturday, on the Friday night and the Saturday night.
So the crown effectively got you to the parade.
There's no doubt. Look, just love the blokes, love the vibe. Obviously, Norwood were reigning premiers in 82.
Yep.
Greg Turbo was one of the first blokes to come up to me and welcome me, and I'll never forget that. And I've told him that. So. The great Greg Turbell. Yep. And so I just felt right and didn't hesitate to come across. And Wally was in charge of it all, of course, got it organised and got me signed up. And by the February of 83, I'd moved across, got a transfer in the National Bank. yeah, and the rest is history. So had, you know, 3.5 fantastic years at the Norwood Footy Club. It's still a big part of my love of footy. And as you know, I went to the Norwood, the 84, even though I didn't play in the 84 Premiership. I went across the other week and had a great day and caught up with everyone, which was fantastic. And Barmy was there, and it's great to see him, and he's looking fantastic. And so all the boys was terrific. So, yeah.
Oh, and thank you for that Woodville West Torrens bit too, where I got there and there was a bit of a stuff up what table. I greatly appreciated your help with that day too.
No worries. Yeah, no, that was a great day as well. And Barmy was a guest speaker that day as well. So actually I dropped Barmy home that night. So, me and Barmy are best of mates, as we always have been.
Well, talking...
we'll get into that a bit later, Des.
Talking about Barmy, you've gone from Barassi, and then you've come over to the SNFL and you've got Barmy as a coach. What are your thoughts on him from the inside? Because from the outside it looked like he had a good relationship with all his players.
He was fantastic. And look, one thing I've always said is, you know, my goal would have been to play regular senior footy under Neil Barmer. Nothing would have satisfied me more. Unfortunately, that didn't happen to the extent that I would have loved. And people say to me over the journey, Barmer was hard on you, this and that. And I said, I always say, no, I just wasn't consistent enough. I just didn't, I'd have great games and then I'd have shit games, excuse the French. So it wasn't Neil Barm. He was a very good analysis of players. And, at the time I wasn't cutting the mustard. And, look, I think I came good eventually when I went to Woodville and probably had a bit more fire in the belly, you know, obviously trying to prove certain people and wrong maybe, and that sort of drives you and so forth. And I got over some horrible injuries I had at Norwood as well. I miss a lot of footy at the Norwood Footy Club.
Now, Des, one thing with Googling today, and I remember, obviously, but I could not find it. When did you kick the 10 goals in the trial game for Norwood?
I reckon that was my first game.
That's what I thought. And I reckon
that was at the parade.
Yeah, against North Adelaide. Yep.
And I stood a bloke by the name of Paul Arnold. So
he was a good player,
too.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I reckon out of that, it's a little bit like Hooksy's 5-4s in a row in the centenary test. It wasn't the best thing that in the end, because I think you got, from that day forward, effectively, you were regarded as you must play forward at Nord. And then, as you said, inconsistent. You go down the reserves and you quite often play at centre-half back in the reserves.
Yes.
And play very...
I played a lot of defensive footy in the reserves, but then when an
never played
up in the A's, I would go... Problem was, Malcolm, of course, we had one of the best defensive units in the country, really. We had, Tommy Warhurst, Bruce Winner, Greg Nicholson that first year. We had Paul Noble floating around early days as well.
Malcolm Noble, you bet.
Jimmy Keel was still around the place. You know more names than me. So Danny Jenkins, of course.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty tough unit to crack into, as the forward line was, just quietly with, Neville Roberts. I mean, they were reigning premiers when I got there. And it was one of the things I do remember coming across is particularly 83, obviously my first year, was the fact that I'd played some senior footy the previous couple of years for Melbourne. And then I remember West Adelaide in that 83 season. And I mean, I walked away from that year thinking, gee whiz, that side would probably make the final five.
Oh, yeah, I agree. They were a brilliant side. Yeah.
So the standard, was all I will say was it was no harder trying to get a game for Melbourne than it was at Norwood to some extent. So, but I'm not kidding myself in terms of, the VFL certainly was, stronger comp. It was a different type of footy though. It was the SANFL footy was a highly skilled competition, whereas probably the VFL back then was brute strength, and if you didn't have the physicality, you got pushed aside a bit more. So
that's how Barmy said it as well. In terms of highly skilled, because and then he gets to Nord, and he was a young coach at Nord,
amazing.
Yeah, more the influence of the senior guys with Bruce Winter and Stazza, and that went, hang on, we haven't got a Royce Hart at centre forward here, Barmy. Mm. We're going to have to be a bit smarter because Barmy, the Tom Hafey, just get it, beat it long to Royce. Well,
So. But I'll never forget Barmy's, and it still works today, hit top of the square. That is Now, as a fullback, you do not want the ball landing top of the square, because that is the worst area. So, you know, sides that still don't do that much is at their peril. So, and that was Tommy Hafey's, pretty much get the ball in top of the, you know, up, get it up there for, you know, Barry Richardson, Royce Hart, whoever was up there. And it was a formula that worked pretty well, because everyone knew what you were doing, and your small forwards were able to crumb off those blokes. And as we know, in 1980, you know, one of those smalls was young Kevin Bartlett kicking seven in a grand final in 1980 against Collingwood. So it sort of worked.
So we have to ask, we talked about the Victorian suburban grounds. You come over to South Australia. What are your thoughts were at the time of the suburban grounds, considering Nord is probably one of those traditional grounds that still, even to today, holds a special place in football history?
Well, I think the entire footy world's been fortunate enough to witness what Nord Oval is to the game. And I think it's one of the most beautiful, magnificent boutique ovals in the world. I mean, I was lucky enough to be at Lord's last year, and it's an amazing oval. But I tell you what, you put 15,000-20,000, whatever it is, at Norwood Oval, it doesn't get much better. And it's to me is one of the best grounds to play on in terms of, you know, the crowd, the atmosphere, the whole deal. So yeah,
the Greater Western Stand's effectively on top of you, and just
it is
a unique. I think it's the best suburban ground here. I'm a Nord man, and it's say people to say you're biased, but I still think it's convincingly the best ground.
Well, I might be biased too, Malcolm, but I 100% agree. So, Woodville Oval is a great ground.
Yeah.
It's a footy ground. It's, you know, it's no different to West Adelaide's and Central's. They're all very similar. Yeah. But that's the uniqueness of Norwood Oval. That is why it is what it is. It's just so unique. And I'll never forget my first senior game there. We played Sturt on this day, April day. It was a beautiful day. Come up out of the race, and wow, you know, the atmosphere was incredible. And that's, you know, something I'll always remember. Yeah, great ground, mate.
And traditional rivals, obviously Port Adelaide. How quickly were you indoctrinated into the hatred of Port Adelaide?
Yes, it didn't take long, Pete, that's for sure. So, it sort of resonated across the border prior to that, before I got here, I reckon. So, it's a fantastic rivalry. And yeah, so that 84 premiership obviously and was amazing. And then I was fortunate enough to, when I did get across to Woodville, we ended up beating Port Adelaide in a, that's when I was playing for Woodville, beating Port Adelaide in an Escort Cup final. So there is nothing more special than beating Port Adelaide, I can tell you. And that's for sure. But the Norwood rivalry in the Port is second to none, for sure.
Well, one other game we've got to ask you is when you're at Norwood is you're kicking 10 against Sturt there. So that's got to have a bit of a place in your history mind.
Gee, I can't remember that. No, yes. I can remember.
Yeah, I was about to say bullshit.
That was a bit of a build up to that game. To be honest, it was I hadn't played for a long time, and I had that osteopubis groin thing. Aishi had the issues as well, and ended up having surgeries on. Ended up having both sides done in the finish, so I missed most of 84 was just a write off, really.
Yeah.
And then the other side went at the start of 85. So here we are again. I'm having more surgery at the start of 85. Well, we didn't muck around this time. I went straight and had the surgery, and within, I think I was playing by about round 8 or 9 or something, and I was playing some terrific footy, and I just couldn't, you know, when was I going to get a bit of a go? And I don't think I'd played a senior game since about 83, so I didn't play a senior game in 84.
No.
So I was well into 85, and I actually said, Barmy, could we have a catch up and have a chat? And he said, yeah, sure, come over after training tonight, yeah, blah, blah, which I did. And I went around there and we sat down and I said, look, mate, I've left my family and I'm over interstate. I'm over here to play senior footy, not reserves. And I said, look, I don't think I can play any better and I don't seem to be getting a look in. And he said, okay, well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll have a look at you this week and we'll see how we go. So I played another reasonable game against South Adelaide at Adelaide Oval and they picked me. Neville got injured, I think, and then I got a game. That's right. No, Neville got injured the next week. So I got a game on the bench. That's right. And then the next week we played Sturt and Neil Neville Roberts was injured, so I ended up playing full forward for the whole game and a day out and kicked the 10. But I was I was keen as mustard, I can tell you. I'd been a long time in the weight, so. And then I finished by playing seniors for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, we went out in straight sets in 85, which was disappointing. So that was coming off the back of 84. So maybe there was a little bit of premiership hangover, who knows. But, we probably should have done better, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
And then how did it arrive with you heading over to Pekka Park where the pasties are spicier, Des?
So, yeah, that's another story. So James Fantasia had gone across at the end of 85. He was over there at the commencement of 86. And anyway, we had a trial game up at Balaclava and I got cleaned up by this bloke called Shane Toey Moore. I was playing in the reserves and it was a stinking hot day at Balaclava and he's taken me out and he's snapped my collarbone. So here we go again, another major injury. And as I'm walking off, I looked over to Barmy and I think it was Black Duck and I pulled my jumper down the bone wasn't protruding through the skin, but it was poking out, you know, and they could see that I had a busted collarbone and they both put their hands in their heads and their heads in their hands and shook their heads. And I walked off and I sort of knew then I was pretty well done. I thought I need a change of scenery of this injury stuff. But anyway, came back and played a couple of reserves games and keeping in mind I'd played, you know, kicked that 10 in towards the back end of 85 and found myself not even getting a game in the reserves. And
liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.